to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We're really glad to have you with us every Sunday at 7 a.m., 7 p.m., Monday mornings at 1 a.m., streaming live at richarddugan.com, and now available not only at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. We're also on SoundCloud, and iTunes is coming soon, so we're very excited about the podcast going there. A little expansion after 10 years. I don't believe in social media, but I guess I'm going to have to acquiesce. Maybe we'll even talk with our guest a little bit about his involvement in that regard as well, in terms of helping people. And we're very excited today to have on the program and in studio. We've talked with him, I don't know, two or three times over the last 10 years, maybe more. He has his own book out. He is a Vedic astrologer, and his name is Jagadish Maheshri. I want to thank you so much for being here in Santa Barbara, here in studio with us.
Thank you for having me.
This is fantastic. I always love having guests face-to-face in studio, and this is wonderful. Great. You also have a book associated also with your website, and the website is astrosite.com?
Astroinsight.com.
Insight. Astroinsight.com.
Correct.
But you also have a book that you put out several years ago.
Yeah.
That teaches people how to understand and maybe even do their own charts.
Exactly. Do their own chart in Vedic astrology chart, you know, Vedic chart.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all the steps required to follow to cast the chart. And then there are some interpretation techniques.
Yeah. When I look at the chart, I've seen my chart. I've seen all the triangles and the square and so on and so forth. And it's kind of like either geometry or calculus, which I didn't understand either in high school. Thank goodness I didn't take calculus in high school. I did take geometry, and I struggled through that like you wouldn't believe. But I know how important both of them are, but this has nothing to do with that in this respect.
Not a whole lot, no.
But it's to me, it's fascinating because I've had both Eastern and Western, yourself as well as David Hawthorne, but I've also had Western astrologers on. And I know that the major difference between the two basically comes down to, I think, about, you know what, 23 degrees?
24 degrees now.
24. Yes. Oh, it's 24.
Yeah,
Wait a minute. How did that change? Why did that change?
It's every 72 years, a degree, it changes by degree. Of course, it all depends upon which Ainausha, which is basically the difference between two zodiacs, you use.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, depends on what you use. Their spectrum, there are about 12 or 13 different Ainausha, and they vary over a period of 1 degree. So it may be, you know, some people using 23, but I use 24. It was based on Lahiri Ainausha. It's a Lahiri or Krishnamurti, either one.
Okay.
As of today, it's a 24 degree.
24 degrees, degree. Okay.
It takes 72 years to change it through a degree.
All right. And so it'll be another 70. So did it change just recently within
you can see that it's only like 50 seconds every year.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, that's how that calculates.
And then,
out.
You know, so it's less than a minute, and 60 minutes is 1 degree. So it started about 6 months ago, and it may be, it takes about a year to go through 1 minute.
Okay.
So it's ballpark there. The whole year is 24.
All right. So maybe halfway through at 34, 35, something like that, it's going to be a half a degree. So it'll be 24 and a half? Or do they do?
No. It's either 24 degrees and 1 minute, 24 degrees and 2 minutes, 24 degrees and 59 minutes.
Okay.
And so on and so forth.
It's as easy to understand as longitude and latitude. which just understanding and remembering which is which is sometimes a struggle for folks. Longitude, of course, it's from pole to pole. Latitudes in circumference of the Earth from the equator.
Other way,
right?
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, the whole aspect of Vedic astrology has been fascinating to me as I have done my utmost to learn it, to understand it. I don't do my own chart. I haven't taken the course, either yours or David's.
Yeah, yeah.
But I find it fascinating from the standpoint, and I've used this analogy many times when we've talked about it, that it is not a roadmap telling you which direction to go. It's a map that shows you the various conditions that you might go through, sort of like a weather forecast is saying that, hey, If you travel 100 miles to the east, you may hit rain showers. You might think about bringing a poncho or an umbrella, or don't leave the top down when you're going down the road because you might get wet. That's kind of what, as I've understood, Vedic astrology and the chart, that's what it's telling you, is those potentials.
Potentials and possibilities, as they, you know, how many of those potential could be realized, mm-hmm. as later, that's based on your chart also. Right. Because each chart has two different, in other words, no chart is a perfect destiny chart, mm-hmm. and no chart is a perfect effort chart.
Right.
So it's a combination of efforts and destiny. Right. And so it depends on the chart, how much, what is the potential to realize your potentials, mm-hmm. So it all depends on the chart.
Right. First of all, the title of the book that you have.
It's All in Timing.
That's the title. Yeah. It's All in Timing.
Timing. Okay. And this book, the reason I wrote this book was I stumbled on a unique approach to interpret the Vedic chart. And as a result of that, I had to share that with the world. Mm. And it's not like a deviating from the traditional astrology.
Right.
I still use all the foundation of traditional astrology, but there are some modification. Mm-hmm. So from that angle, I call myself a contemporary Vedic astrologer.
Ah, okay.
I'm not a conventional Vedic astrologer.
Okay. Yeah. So sort of...
not traditional.
Not traditional or orthodox, as some right. might use the
that.
Term. Yeah.
But I still, the basis is still the same, mm-hmm. except that I include Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. I include the Placidus house division system instead of whole house division system, and so on.
Okay. Now, for folks who may or may not, most who have are not that familiar with Vedic astrology, aside from the 24 degrees, whether or 23, depending upon where you're at, what are some of the basic differences between Eastern and Western astrology? Okay. One of them that comes to mind that has been mentioned over and over again in these interviews is the fact that it is science-based?
Yes, it is science-based.
Okay.
Absolutely, it is science-based. The major difference between Western and the Vedic astrology is the Western chart, you know, it predominates, you know, focuses more on the signs,
mm-hmm.
while the Vedic chart focuses on the houses. So house is a predominant factor in the Vedic astrology. And the other factor is in Western, the way they treat the progression, mm-hmm. it's very different than the Eastern. They're based on Vishuntari Dasha. So Dasha is a very important. And my experience is I had a very good results using predictive techniques of Vedic astrology, which is a Dasha based. Mm-hmm. And I dealt with both astrology. I practiced with the Western astrology for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, I was always comparing, you know, what, and I had a better luck with Vedic astrology.
Mm.
Not to say that, you know, each one has its own place. Absolutely,
right.
No
mm-hmm.
doubt about it.
What is your country of origin? I don't want to assume. I mean, we've talked over the years.
Right.
And you're from where originally?
I was born in India.
In India.
Right. And I came to this country when I was 24.
And is Vedic astrology like Western astrology in the United States? Is it big? Is it used a lot? Or are there a lot of skeptics in India just as there are here in the United States?
Not as many as in the United States, but there are skeptics in India.
Is it part of the culture more so, going back through history, as unlike the United States, which is still a very young country?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. It's a part of history. Only difference is, say, something like 2,000 years ago,
mm-hmm.
it was flourishing. It was being researched. The people who dealt with it, you know, they were more of scientific approach. And then there's a whole period of 2,000 years, where during that time, India has been invaded from outside.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not, it's like the period of silence as far as astrological research is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
It went not until the beginning of the 20th century, then there is some efforts in that direction to, you know, to do more research. And so that's how the contemporary Vedic astrology is born.
I know in this country, most people want to know their future. They want to know about their relationships. Right. They want to know about money, career, home life, all of these different aspects. And that's where the houses in Eastern or Vedic astrology come in. And there are 12 of them?
Yeah, 12 houses and 12 planets, so to speak. They're not 12 planets. They're around Ketu, are these fictitious planets. It's the intersection of two orbits. Moon's orbits around the Earth and Earth's orbit around the Sun. And then there is Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, which I include. So you get 12.
And you mentioned Rahu and Ketu?
Right. So which is the North Node and the South Node.
Right.
And most of the time, Lunar Node.
Yeah. And most of the time when I hear either of those, it's usually not good, at least from my limited understanding. It's not always good news. Well, certain houses being afflicted by, as opposed to being benevolent.
Exactly. Benevolent. Now, if you look at from the philosophical perspective, we are born. Let's just say, we are born and we don't have any challenges whatsoever. You're not going to see any growth. We're not going to grow. It's the challenges that propels the growth. And those, according to Vedic astrology, those challenges are based on what you did in the past. And so that's what they call it, your karma. You're going to redeem your karma. In the process of redeeming that karma, you have opportunity to figure out who you are. And that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So from that sense of, from that perspective, Rahu Ketu is like a blessings in the chart. Yes, they are they throw the challenges, they throw the curveballs, and then depends on how you deal with them. Some people deal with positively, and then they advance in terms of spiritually.
Right.
While others, they still live in the material world because they haven't really figured out themselves.
Right.
And so that's the difference. But that depends upon where they lie. Rahu Ketu lie along the axis. So the first house and seventh house axis, meaning the relationship challenges, that's very common.
Right.
Or the health issues. Second and eighth house axis and so on. That would be the family matters and so on. But the idea behind there is you go through those experiences and hopefully you learn. Then you see more about, that's the idea behind it.
I know that when we've had Beth McDonald on, she is a corporate intuitive. She also uses astrology as well and Western astrology. And she will often talk about Mercury in retrograde, which is the best comparison I can think of to Rahu and Ketu. And she always tells people, I try to incorporate this, and I need to incorporate it into whatever's being said about Rahu and Ketu in Eastern astrology. She says, it's not a time to be fearful and all kinds of bad things are going to happen. She says, it's a time to observe, to be aware, and there's nothing wrong or bad in observing or being aware.
You need that space, like you cannot be continuously, moving.
And again, it's that whole aspect of, it's those challenges that we face throughout our lives that makes us who we are, that hopefully helps us to grow and know self, which again is sort of the whole reason we're here. How old is Vedic astrology?
I think they date back on the books about 5,000 years ago.
Okay.
That's when the Vedas were born, so to speak. Vedas are nothing but the collection of the knowledge. It's just a collection. So at that point in time in history, whoever has something, that went to Veda, like the Rishi, sages and all that. So they contributed it. So it's a collection. And it's a huge, Vedas are huge.
Now, I'm always fascinated by the origins of things, not so much how long ago, but who or what group created these things, whether it's Western astrology or in this case, we're talking about Vedic astrology. Yeah. Well, 5,000 years ago, a group of guys got together and looked at the stars and said, well, let's create this. Or was it sort of intuited?
Yeah, well, it's not
came from the divine,
and it's a scientific. It's like it's not like guys got together.
Okay.
It's like there were islands. In other words, there are some person, you know, some people, they were thinking about it. Wow. And then they develop on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another person 100 miles away did the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the communication or, communication
the
was not great during
forth, right?
those days. It's not that. And then you hear about it. And then, you know, they travel once a year and then they exchange the ideas. And that's how it was flourished.
Mm.
But now your point is whether it's like intuitive. Well, it could be intuitive. But they could measure. There was also the scientific factor because they knew the motion of the planets.
Right.
They knew very precise. And so it's not, you know, so they must have, there is, they have that advanced, you know, the science was advanced.
Right,
then.
Right.
And I'm not, you know, and then it's, we had a complicit period in India.
Right.
So that's the reason you don't hear a whole lot about that part.
You know, the moon, for example, that orbits the Earth.
Mm.
It's certainly fascinating that only one side of it faces the Earth.
Right.
It's always rotates facing. Around the Earth. It doesn't spin right. around the Earth. It no. rotates.
Right.
And it has a certain element of gravitation to it, which of course affects the water on the planet. And so I started to think about that in terms of what you were just speaking about and of course the 12 planets and so forth. That each body has its own gravitation.
Absolutely.
And so when it's in a particular position, in this case, the solar system, there is a different gravitational pull or push as opposed to it being in another position later on in our year as we've kind of compartmentalized things. And it just, to me, stands to reason that if the moon is affecting the waters of the planet and also probably the waters within each of us because we're made up of, 90 or 97%
water.
Mm-hmm. Then how much more with other
planets.
Celestial bodies in our solar system are they affecting us? And it seems to me like Vedic astrology sort of puts all of that together in an understandable format. Then when the planets are... in this position when you are born, and that would lead to my next question. If you did a chart for me 10 years ago, is it just as reliable in the context as if you did the chart for me today?
It would be the main structure, the skeleton, everything would be same, identical.
Okay.
Only difference is what I learned between then and now in terms of research.
Okay.
So
you're always...
Exactly. It's always evolving. And it doesn't really deviate. It's adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's complements. Whatever there is, it's complements. So there's a new way of looking at it. Oh, there is one other... In other words, for example, think about Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Newton, discovered, not invented, discovered the gravity, the law of gravity.
Allegedly, an apple hit him in the head.
That's right. Exactly. Something like that. Then comes the Einstein in 20th century.
Yeah.
Then we were going away from the Earth with space more. We were, you know, we're looking at the celestial bodies far more than Newton was at the time. And so it's like it opens the door. And then you apply those rules when this, say, say one of the satellites, which is the moon is satellite of the Earth, it goes in a different orbit. Or then you can go to Mars, the next planet, you know, closer to Earth is the Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started studying, and then they looked at, wait a minute, I don't get the same results if I applied the Newton's gravity. And then they say, well, then there comes a relative theory.
Mm-hmm.
But Newton's law still applies with the constraints of, it's on the Earth, as far as you are, it's constrained with the Earth. You go beyond Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to take some other factors into account. And that's how the theory of relativity is born.
It's interesting. Now,
So it's the research really advances.
Yeah.
The thing.
And you have to stay up on all of these things too.
Yeah.
Where do you do your research? I mean, where do you get that information as far as that's concerned so that you stay up on
First of all,
evolutionary process?
That's right. Okay. based on the mathematics involved, mm-hmm. I know the planetary positions at any given time, at any, you know, and mm-hmm. how the houses are going to be oriented at any particular location. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now the question, now I also know the events occur.
Mm-hmm.
So you just look at the events of 100 years, last 100 years, and look at the corresponding planetary positions, so to
speak.
Right,
right.
And then see this, try to make a sense out of it. Now, so that's what's called the correlations.
Right. Now, is there, within this context of the chart, of one's chart, is there what you would categorize as, shall we say, good news and bad news? Or these are just the conditions you're going to be going through, and you want to kind of prepare yourself, if you want, you don't have to face the rains in 100 miles or high winds in 1,000 or heavy snows or hot sunshine. And I'm using weather analogies in this context. What about that? Because I know that some astrologers, especially Western, they don't like giving the bad news to somebody.
Yeah. Well, to me, there's no such thing as good news or bad news.
Okay.
Okay. Depends upon how you perceive them. You know.
Uh-huh.
How you perceive, it's our perception. It's individual perception.
Mm-hmm.
So for some people, if they're struggling, naturally they're looking for some sunshine, mm-hmm. good news. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I can understand that part.
Yeah.
But as their struggle continues, and if they stay aware and see through their struggle, what's underlying there? Mm-hmm. And then understand underlying principle is to understand why the struggle is there. And with that, your perception about looking at it changes. And it doesn't bother you as much because you know now why it's why. You know, if I'm doing the same mistake three times, then if I do the same mistake, I haven't really grown.
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea behind it. And then you become more knowledge, you know, that's called the wisdom. This is a direct perception of truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's the wisdom. And so that it takes time. It's not everyone is not that. It's all can boils down to the chart also. But I think there is no chart which is 100% fatalistic, meaning there's always a room for efforts. You can change your own destiny.
Yeah.
Yes, there is absolutely. And at the same time, there are two charts are identical.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no chart in the world is worse than any other chart.
Mm.
Any other chart.
Right.
Meaning every chart has something unique. And the challenge of astrologer is to figure that out and give it to that person.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly that person's purpose in life is. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not, it's not a fact, but it's my opinion.
Right. I know that a lot of folks, they sometimes will follow someone's chart, maybe a very notable individual, someone in the news, what have you. Not so much because they want to see what this person's going to do, as much as they may have a love-hate relationship with this particular individual. They don't like this person in the news, and they just want to see if the chart's going to show if this person's going to succeed or fail kind of stuff.
Right.
And it's like, I'm not sure how productive that is.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, that's sort of our mentality, especially here in the West. You do a newsletter, if you will, an online newsletter where you send out an email that says, hey, I've got the predictions for the month of February or March or April or May.
Every month, right.
And you even shared a little bit of that with us last time you were on the program in terms of especially our election. And some people might go back to that interview and say, well, what did he say about, the various individuals involved in all of that?
Yeah.
And where are we today?
Right.
I remember even talking with another gentleman, a gentleman I've had on a couple of times also. He's not an astrologer. He's more of an intuitive. And he was talking about the change that was supposed to come about.
Right.
I haven't seen it. Based upon what he says, I haven't seen it.
That's right. Yeah.
But then again, Vedic astrology is not about predicting the future.
No, Vedic
not in that context.
Well, I mean, it's Vedic astrology is guides you rather than predict you. It's a guide. It's about the guidance, possibilities. There is no, the you know, how do I say it? There is no 100%
Right, you know? Right.
So there are the possibilities. And, you know, it's a 75% possibility, 80% possibility, right. And so on and so forth. There's possibilities.
I will actually use a personal example. Sure. And we've talked about this, and I remember sharing this with you several years ago, actually, okay. And you confirmed it when you ran my chart, that come November of 2019, and this was the way it was phrased to me, that at about that time, I would have the Midas touch, that everything I touched would turn to gold. Yeah. And I'm sitting here, of course, back then I'm going, could we speed that up just a little bit? And I remember sharing that with you, and you ran my chart between now and then, which was 2 or 3 years ago, and you said that I would have the experience of that in bits and pieces as I moved forward in time. And I can honestly say that I actually have. And I mean, and we're not talking about huge sums of money per se. Yeah, right. And I look at abundance, not just in the form of cash, but in other ways as well. And that's my perception, is that abundance and prosperity come in many different ways. Although, hey, who wouldn't love to have 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 zeros before the decimal point? And so it's like, okay, and I think that part of that for me, especially with the challenges that I've been through financially over the years, is to prepare me for that time, because you and I both know that lottery winners who are middle low income and they win millions 1 year from almost to the day that they won the lottery, they're right back where they started because they didn't change their perception.
Exactly. So yeah, that's to me, it's like it's their destiny to go through that experience and find out that despite all that money and, you know, the possibility of thinking of great future, unless you are aware, you're not going to go there.
Right.
You're not going to have that.
Right.
That's that.
And obviously the first step in moving forward, whether you're seeking a partner for relationship, whether you're seeking the perfect job, so to speak, where, you know, I remember back in 1999, I had been laid off from what I had been considered to be the worst job I had ever done because of the way I was treated. I mean, I remember being hired by a gentleman who, when he hired me, treated me as if I was his best friend. Mm. And within 3 months, he was treating me as if I'd killed his best friend. Uh-huh. I mean, it was just, you know, and so I went into another station in 99 where it was like I had found a family. And they were all embracing and they made me feel welcome and they let me do things and on and on and on and on. And I still remember one experience in particular where I was involved in an incident where an individual quit. Mm. And I was hauled into the GM's office and I was reamed a new one. Mm. Well, I had had an experience many years earlier, similar kind of situation where I had done something and it just ticked off the manager and he came in and he reamed me a new one and I couldn't sleep for 3 days. Yeah. And finally we sat down and I said, hey, I forgot what I had been was doing and I couldn't tell you that because you so attacked me that I shut down. I went into shock.
Yeah.
Couldn't sleep for 3 days. Right. So this new experience, I sat there in what they call open body posture where I had both feet on the floor and I had my hands on my knees. Yeah. I had to keep from laughing because, first of all, I knew that I hadn't done anything wrong. I was doing my job. Yeah, yeah. And second of all, I was looking at this guy ranting and raving and going on and on. And I thought, wow, I'm not letting this affect me.
That's it.
It's not impacting me. I'm not taking it in. Yeah. I'm not taking it personally. Yeah. This is his stuff. And so I had that one challenge earlier that sort of prepared me for this next one. And that's kind of what you're talking about as far as the chart and being able to see those places that you want to sort of prepare for.
Prepare for.
You know. Yeah.
Now, only you are absolutely correct, whatever you just said. So long, a person doesn't get obsessed with their preparation. That's the key thing. So, yes, prepare, but you're flexible to change the course if it needed.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so, basically, I'm not saying you're going to have the very complicit attitude, but at the same time, you're not going to be hypering yourself in that direction. Wait a minute, I got to prepare. Just relax and look at it, things, how they go. As you know that when you breathe it, anytime you talk and when you breathe, you have a better control of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So same idea. You just relax. You just look at it. I think just the listening and looking at it makes one a lot more efficient than otherwise.
Yeah. I even went to work for that second GM. Years later, after we moved here to Santa Barbara, he was running a station in Thousand Oaks. And I actually would drive there. Yeah. I think I drove there twice. Most of what I was able to do was online. And I worked for him for a short while. And of course, the thought occurred to me, well, apparently this gentleman must think that I've got the qualifications. Otherwise, he wouldn't have hired me for the short term. And that, of course, sort of gave me the greater confidence to continue, of course, to move forward. Yeah. And again, it's all about perception. Whereas I could have said, oh, no, he did that to me back there in Phoenix. I'm not going to go work for him. And I looked at it more as an opportunity. I don't like not giving people the benefit of the doubt.
You know? I think that's the key.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I know that there are folks out there that I think that the biggest key, especially when it comes to the attitudes that we take on about, especially about people who are in the news, is we're not getting the whole story. We don't know what is really going on under the surface. We're just getting, it's like an iceberg.
Yeah.
You know, what is it?
It's a more,
75% of the iceberg is under the water, something 90, like that.
95%.
95%, yeah. We just don't know. And so I, as frustrated as I might get with some of these folks in the news, I've got to stop myself.
That's right.
Myself.
It's called Neptunian deception.
Neptunian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all the media, news,
they
come under Neptune.
Okay.
And Neptune is the planet which stands on the line that separates illusion from reality.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a very fine line. And so you can fall this way or that way easily.
Mm.
And so whenever it comes to media, it's always Neptune.
Jagadish Maheshwari is my guest, and we're talking about Vedic astrology. And the website, once again, is astroinsight.com. We encourage you to go there and check out the book. Once again, the title is It's About Time.
It's All in Time.
It's All in Time. Yeah. It's All in Time. Jagadish Maheshwari is my guest. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Please stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're in studio. It's exciting. I love having guests in studio. Jagadish Maheshwari, and It's All in Time, and the website is astroinsight.com. There are newsletters. Matter of fact, you know, somebody can actually go back in time in your newsletters.
Absolutely.
Look at, if you want, go back to 2016 or 2015 and so on and so forth.
Last 15 years of archives is on our website.
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, too, and I'm going to touch upon this just briefly. We usually don't talk specifically about current events, but what's interesting is I've talked with a number of people who, whether they are intuitive or whether they are into astrology or what have you, and they predicted the outcome of our election years, two or three years before. Someone even said to me that when the subject was even broached to Trump about running for president, and this goes back probably the late 90s. In an interview, this person said, oh, yeah, he's going to, one day he will be our president.
Right.
And It's interesting to watch those interviews, too, the ones that were done in the 80s, the 90s, and even early 2000s, and then to see some of these interviews today, and there's such a difference in the person and so forth. But I think that one of the aspects, and again, I'm kind of going back a little bit, you know, again, when I used to listen to other radio programs of hosts who had folks on who would give readings, and especially if it was, say, an intuitive, you know, the same questions came up over and over again. Well, when am I going to find love? Or, you know, when am I going to move? When am I going to find my perfect job? You know, when am I going to get more money? Yeah. Those were like the four or five basic questions that people would ask. And it was frustrating for me from the standpoint that they were so wrapped up in, and it's easy to get that way, in the material world. And they forget about who and what they are. It's like, when am I going to know myself? You know, I think therefore I am, but what am I thinking? Where are those thoughts coming from? And maybe who am I going to be? And I remember as a kid wondering, am I going to be a person who is going to grow up and get educated and get into a job where I'll just kind of be the cog, you know, one of the many, many cogs and just do my thing and have a good life, you know, nothing wrong? Or am I going to be bigger? Am I going to be more well-known locally or nationally or internationally? You know, my life ain't over, so I have no way of knowing.
Right.
But here you are. You're traveling. You're seeing people along the way, clients and so forth. You're doing readings probably on the phone, via Skype, all different methods, especially with technology as it's changed. Mm-hmm. How has technology changed the way in which you create a chart for someone? Has that made any difference at all, or has it made it easier?
Well, the technology definitely helped me create, because I wrote my own program to create the chart.
Wow.
Absolutely. That was in the 70s, using the Kepler's law of motion.
Wow.
That's the planet. Because I'm an engineer, engineering background, you know. So I'm a programmer, I'm an engineer,
So you worked with the pinhole cards and the fanfold paper coming off of the computers. My father went to school in the 70s, college, and he would bring those home.
Yeah.
So I remember
that. Yeah, I started with that, absolutely.
The punch cards and the fanfold paper.
That's a long time. Yeah, that's right. That's like an old generation anyway. And then now I can write a macro in, you know, in Microsoft Visual Basic and kind of stuff. But that's apart from that. That's just a tool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the great thing. You know, it's a tool to use what you really want to discover or invent, whatever. So that part, and then comes this new media explosion, like YouTube, the like Facebook and other areas, and there are a lot of ways. Of course, as an astrologer or as someone who wants to use those tools to develop what I want to develop, I don't spend a whole lot of time there, but I definitely use those because it helps me reach lots of people easily. So I use that. Recently, I had a conference in this is an online conference. All over the world, people participate in the conference. It was an astrological research conference. And I had a great time. That was in the last week of January. And so now my stuff is on the YouTube. And so I said, well, that's a great thing. So I'm going to be doing that more and more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's interesting because one gentleman on this program told me that I needed to be on television, or maybe YouTube, and doing these programs. Yeah. But it never made a lot of sense to me because most of my guests are on the phone. Most of my guests are on Skype, we just do the audio. And it's like, well, gee, you know, if I had a studio, I'm savvy enough to know how to set up a studio. And make sure that the background's looking good and everybody's mic'd properly and so on. But I can't do all of that. I would actually have to have a team. I know one day, there's going to come a day when I'm not sitting across from you over a console, running the board as we converse. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot to do while we're talking.
That's right.
One day I'll be on the other side of the counter, and somebody else will be back here running the whole thing, and that'll be feeling really strange.
That's right.
Because I've been doing it like this for almost 40 years.
Right.
But I know that there is that next level. It's like social media. You have a Facebook page?
Yeah, I have a Facebook page.
Twitter?
I don't have Twitter.
You're on YouTube?
I'm on YouTube. Actually, there are softwares like Zoom. You know, Zoom, it's a platform.
Right.
And so this is how our conference was ran. You know?
Yeah, I'm hearing that. Yeah. You know, someone will say, I say, hey, we're going to do a landline or we're going to use Skype. So, well, can you use Zoom? Well, I don't have Zoom on my computer.
You know,
and it's not to say that I couldn't put it on there. I get a little concerned putting too many of these programs.
That's right.
And because Skype tends to want to control the audio controls.
Yeah.
And so I can't adjust the levels. I've got to play with it in post.
Right.
But, you know, these are the things. My website, for example, and I know many people have been to the website and they like it and they like the way it looks.
Yeah.
There's only one problem with it. It isn't mobile ready.
Right.
It, you know, you go to a lot of other websites and has that little three or four line little menu drop down thing. Mine doesn't have that. You have to zoom in and zoom out. Use your fingers to do that.
Right.
So I need to bring, I actually need to come up from almost the 20th century into the 21st.
And there are lots of packages. Even I'm not familiar with them.
Yeah.
I had to, but WordPress is one of
I've heard of WordPress, I've heard of Wix, and many others. Yes, there are a whole
bunch
of them.
There's so many things.
Oh, and then you don't know who to talk to, and you talk to too many people, and now you have so many. And again, I am a firm believer in having choice.
That's
what this program, having choices and knowledge of those choices don't make your dreams come true. But it's like I don't want to go to a restaurant and they've got a phone book for a menu. I wouldn't even know where to start.
It's a burden of over choices.
Yeah, it is. It is. So that's where I think our own intuition has to come in. And I mean, I'm, for example, with my book that I'm hoping will come out sometime in the near future.
Wow.
I finally finished it, but I'm now kind of putting the pieces together. And I've talked with one person.
Can't wait to read it.
I'm looking forward to getting it out there. I talked with one person who gave me a contact information, so I called them and I talked with them on the phone. Then I get an email from somebody else saying, "Hey, this is the website we use for our book, and you can self-publish." And of course, again, I don't know the cost, so I'm still looking at that as well. And on and on and on. And so I'm just sitting here going, "Remember what happened when you created the very first flyer for your business back in 1994, and you showed it to a whole bunch of people, including your mother."
Yeah.
Who, when she looked at it, she says, "I don't get it." Okay? Now, my mom doesn't have to get it.
Right.
But what I learned from that was, yes, you want to have as many choices as possible, but there comes a point when you have to say, okay, if I keep going, I'm never going to make a choice. I'm just going to have choices to make, and I'll never make one.
That's right.
So you have to come to a point where you say, all right, you go inside. You go listen to that still small voice and get guidance and saying, okay, well, which direction should I go? Which would be the most efficacious for me to and beneficial for me, as well as others, to pursue this particular project, whether it's the book, whether it's the radio program, social media. As I mentioned at the beginning of the program, we're on SoundCloud and we're soon to be on iTunes, connecting that RSS feed. And making it available that way. So it's with technology the way it is, that's quite a challenge for anybody.
Absolutely.
But, and especially when you have something like what you have.
Yeah. But I would like to add one to that.
Sure.
One thing, if the material that you create, if it's, and you choose, you jump in with one choice.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter which choice.
You finally choose one.
You choose one and you put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
If the material has substance, it's going to go viral.
Yeah.
So people are going to do that work for you. I know that. I know that.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's always good to look at all those options. But if you don't have it, don't worry about it.
Right.
Just pick one at this point in time.
Yeah.
Pick one. Maybe you know later on you'll find maybe that's another one is better. You can change.
Sure.
No problem. But you don't wait to put it out.
Right. Once you get it out there, it's sort of, if I can coin the phrase from a television show, it then becomes the wisdom of the crowd to decide whether or not what you have to say or share is of value, and then it'll either take off or
it
won't.
It takes,
but if it never gets out there.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Yeah. And if I can tell you, it has a substance.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take off.
Yeah.
It's going to. It may take some time. Sometimes.
Sure.
But it will take off.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen certain videos on YouTube. Yeah. Some of them are silly in one perspective, and others are very touching and so forth. I mean, I've seen some incredible things that. And I don't spend a lot of time on YouTube, but
Also, another thing is, we are living in times where our attention span is so narrow, so there are 1,000 things are thrown out in the. Now the question is, which one is going to land where?
Yeah, there
and
you go.
And that's the key thing. So, but even then, you can put it out. If it lands to 200, and if it's, they see something value, they're going to turn it to their friend, and just for a momentary, there will be sensation.
Yeah.
But then once they know if it goes viral. Sure, nothing lasts for, it's because of such a short attention span.
If you get minutes,
That's right.
Go with
that's,
it.
That's right.
Run with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It is fascinating to contemplate the possibilities. Yeah. As a matter of fact, just the other day, we have an art supply store just down the street from the radio station, and I went in there, and I wanted to get some new pens, colored pens or pencils or what have you, drawing items. And I bought this pack of stuff. And I've been looking for these drawing pads that I had stored away in one of the boxes under the house. And I went through three of them about 3 months ago and I couldn't find them. And then I looked over on one side about 3-4 weeks ago. There was a fourth that I completely – and they were in there. Mm. And I pulled them all out and everything. And I found a couple, 3 or 4 journals that I had in there. I pulled those out as well. But I've just had this urge to get back to drawing minimal, even if it's just once every week or two and so forth. And that's why I did that. And I always find that it's sometimes I'll pull the thing out and I'll get the pens and I'm going, so what are you gonna draw? Then I just start moving the pen on the paper once I've got a line or two on the paper,
it happens.
Away I go. And it's the same thing whether you're writing a book, whether, let's say, you're going to write a play, whatever it is that you're going to create, make something out of clay, paint, et cetera, gardening, whatever it is that brings you that joy. And it seems to me like giving people readings, sharing that with them, as well as the research you do, brings you a great deal of joy as well.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how I live.
Mm-hmm.
That's, that's the essence of my living.
Right.
Really. It's a joy. It's that joy. And then it becomes effortless.
Mm-hmm.
It really becomes effortless.
I've heard it said, part of it has to do with the fact that you know that in addition to the joy that you bring to people when you share this, that you know that people want to know about themselves. Many people want to know about themselves.
That's the key thing. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
And astrology is just the way to get in there. But then it's really this part which, hey, I want to find out more about myself. And there are so many different ways you can do that. But astrology just gets in there first. It's like without astrology, I wouldn't be what I am in terms of my perspective about life.
Right.
Because that's how it's like I'm living astrology.
Mm.
It's a philosophy, the way of living I found through astrology. That's the idea behind that. And so it makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. I'm curious as to how much traveling you do each year. I know with the technology,
I don't travel. I do over Skype. Basically, I have clients in Australia, UK, right. Hong Kong, Japan.
But obviously, you're here with us, so you traveled here.
I travel. I like to visit Santa Barbara on and off.
Yeah.
And so here I am.
Do you – because I think about the prospects. I'm hopeful that I will have the opportunity of doing interviews and being asked the questions, and traveling. going to different places to talk about this, this particular work that I put out. And I'm thinking of other things that I might put out as well down the road. And it's funny when I interview folks, this is my 15th book. And I started writing last week. it took me 16, 17 years, and I'm finally getting closer much closer than I ever was before. But I think about that. I think, boy, that would be so neat. I mean, I would take the train as often as I could. A plane here and there. Obviously, you have to. But just that aspect of getting out amongst other people in different situations and circumstances and learning about other areas of not just the country but the world. I mean, I've even had a dream more so to go to Ireland and live for the rest of my life. But I've considered, if I had the wherewithal, I might want to travel to India and see some of the places. Yeah. Maybe see the Taj and go to the Ganges and maybe even for a short time, because I have problems with big crowds, being on the fringes of the Kumbh Mela. on the fringes, which I don't know. I'd probably be
50 miles away.
Exactly. I could be 50 miles away. But experiencing some of the things that I've only read about or heard about or seen on YouTube, because there's nothing like being there in all of these different circumstances.
You've got all the senses there when you're there.
Do you, and again, we talked about this earlier, and I want to touch upon this before we wrap up. I know there, as you've stated, there's no good news and bad news. It's just a perception. Mm-hmm. We come into this world with a round-trip ticket, and we already know the departure date. Mm-hmm. And I say that in this way because the arrival, meaning when we leave this world to arrive in the next world, we don't know when that is.
Right.
Do charts ever hint at something like that?
That's what I used to think when I started astrology.
Okay.
And for a long time, I thought, well, it's, but now my perception has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this. Like when we leave, it's not really we leave. It's just a transition. In other words, you just think about it. I'm traveling from here to L.A. And then I spend a week there in L.A. And then I go to San Diego. So it's like I'm going from one life to next life,
mm-hmm.
and so to speak. That's the idea there.
Yeah.
So while I'm in L.A., I'm going to enjoy whatever I'm doing there, not really wondering about what's my next destination would be after the transition. The reason is because it's really, there is not much difference between this, you living here, you're actually living in all other lives too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my perception now. It's, and then there comes a time, you're everywhere at given moment.
Mm.
And that's, I mean, I like to think that that's going to happen. That's the future. That's the future we're looking at. Now we have the sky. We can look at the person. You know, we can see the person from anywhere on the earth. We can hear the person from anywhere on the earth. But now we haven't gone to the smell and other senses yet.
Right.
But I have a feeling that you can be actually, you don't have to travel. If you want, you close your eyes and open, and you are wherever you want to go, you are there.
Now, are we talking just in the mind, or are we talking by location?
By location.
Oh.
I have this bit.
As it's spoken about in autobiography, yes.
Yeah, it's just, it can, it's all in here.
Yeah.
So as we go inside more and more, you're going to, because this is all superficial world.
Right.
Once we understand that it's all superficial, you can be anywhere.
Well, now, then that raises the question, is the chart for the soul or the body?
There's no system. I mean, body is fine. I mean, body, you need to, it's like a medium.
Right.
To, you know, to evolve.
Right.
But it's really, if you want to use this word soul, I don't know what that word is.
The essence, it's just that a label. Animates the body.
That's right.
Okay.
It's something that which is essence of you.
Right.
Which uses this body and just, it's to discover the frontiers of, future.
Can one transcend their chart?
Absolutely. I fully believe in that.
Yeah.
In other words, this is what I'm thinking of. I'm not really interested in writing book, but somehow write an article at least, Going Beyond the Planets.
Mm-hmm.
That's the title, Going Beyond the Planets. In other words, planets are kind of hindrance to our growth. I know you really have to have that perception.
Yeah.
In other words, planets say, so we are so much caught up in our mundane activity. I want this, I want that. And this is all. And then the planet says, okay, if you did this, you would have that. You would.
Mm-hmm.
Then I wonder, these are all the cycles, ups and down, ups and down.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Well, how can I go beyond it? So in other words, if I come to a point where this planet is not going to influence me,
mm-hmm.
how do I, you know, so that's when you come, when you look at the things as they are, and then you, it doesn't affect you. The moment it doesn't affect you, you become free of it. And you start becoming free of your, you know, things that are affecting you. That's your nirvana.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, yeah. I've often thought about that in the context of the universe and the planets moving about, especially when we talked earlier about, you know, good and bad or right and wrong and so forth. And from the human perspective, from the intellectual perspective, when you see things collide, oh, my God, how terrible. Yeah. Well, the universe has been doing this for who knows how long, you know, millions or billions or trillions of years.
We continue doing that, right?
But it's not good, bad, right, or wrong. It's just the universe.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And so can I take – and I know I can. I know the answer to the question is yes. Can I take that perception – and perspective of the universe and its movement and bring it into my life when I collide or have those challenges and say, oh, no. Yeah. It's not right or wrong, good, bad. There.
Yeah.
It's just what is. Yeah. It's just the way life is.
It makes you humble also.
It does.
Yeah. Remember that Voyager, I think one or two, I don't remember. It went all the way up beyond Saturn and then Neptune.
Oh, you're talking about the Voyager.
Voyager, right.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Carl Sagan, he was, you know, the famous astronomer, you know, and philosopher. He wondered, how about if that Voyager takes the picture from Neptune of all the planets, you know, the solar systems, mm-hmm. all the planets. And yes, they had it, you know, NASA somehow figured out how to take that picture because they were always taking picture outside.
Right.
But he said, how about inward? We'll take the picture now. And in that picture, one of the pictures is on the somewhere on the
NASA's website.
You see the Earth, the dot of Earth. It's a very, very faint dot.
Yeah.
And then here I'm wondering, I'm in this Earth and I'm worried about things, and that's where I am. I mean, amazing.
It is. It's incredible.
What am I worried about? You know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. I couldn't agree with you more. It's. Yeah, okay. It is utterly fascinating to me, and I am thrilled beyond belief to be here, to be doing the things that I'm doing that bring give me joy and pleasure and excitement and just energize me. And I hope that I get to do this at least for another 43, 44 years. I have to outlive my great-grandmother who lived to be 100. Okay? So I have a goal. Now I have to stay healthy, but I want to keep doing this because as time goes on, I'm hearing things that are just incredibly wonderful things coming out of humanity in spite of all the news that we get. There are other aspects that I'm getting from people who are traveling the world and they are meeting people and they're having experiences and they're getting understandings. I love the one from one of my guests, and I apologize for not knowing his name, but he wrote a book called, I think it was called Love and Fear in the Middle East.
Okay.
And he travels there quite often and he holds interfaith gatherings. And specifically Israel and Palestine, he's bringing together the youth. And the youth are basically telling him that they're telling their parents, Mom, Dad, we want nothing to do with your fight. That's your fight. That's not ours. Okay? We want no part. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe this could come to an end. It'll just fizzle out. You know, because the young people are going to say, no. You know, I'm not going to let you indoctrinate me with this because I don't want a part of it. And that would be exciting around the world if the young people just said, you know what? Enough is enough.
Yeah. We are moving towards the spiritual world.
Yeah.
And that's the part of
that's exciting. Yeah. I want to thank you so much. This has just been fantastic. Thank you again for coming to Santa Barbara.
It's my pleasure. Always enjoy being on your show.
And you've been on three times before. Yeah, I was just looking at your website, and you have the three interviews that we've done since 2010.
That's right. Yeah.
So 8 years. Yeah. And again, I want to remind our listeners, especially of his book. It is called It's All in Time. It's All in Time.
Timing.
And it's Jagadish C. Maheshri, PhD. PhD is in?
Chemical engineering.
Wow.
Yeah.
Of course, this has nothing to do with chemical engineering. This is more cosmic.
The discipline that I had in chemical engineering, I applied the same discipline of research.
Yeah. That's well, I'm excited. Okay. It's All in Timing is the title of the book. And again, Jagadish C. Maheshri, I want to thank you so much for joining us, being here in studio with us. And I look forward to our next opportunity. We'll try to make it a little more often than just every 2 years.
I will try.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. Yeah. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love Talal.